We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Yeah! Yeah!
Fun. Yeah, I have a special place in my heart for summer Fridays. You get past Memorial Day, you got nicer weather. Go outside, grill out with the boys, have a few beers, knock off from work early. Maybe you're headed up camp or something like that. You got a nice long weekend planned, or you're on the precipice of a vacation. It's the best. I love it. I think we appreciate it more in Pittsburgh when it's not as you don't have great weather weekends as much as you do in places like San Diego or Miami or those places, you know? Every weekend has beautiful weather. I saw a report on KDK TV when I was getting ready to do the sports call last night, Donnie, that we've only had 7 clear days where the meteorologists would describe it as sunny weather in Pittsburgh. It's been partly cloudy, fully cloudy, rain or snow for every day but 7 days all year.
Well, I have a
more
feeling
than
we're
halfway
hit,
through the year with that.
I have a feeling we're going to hit a good stretch here.
We are the 4th cloudiest sun-deprived city in America.
See, now does it count? Do they count today as a cloudy day?
Today's partly cloudy, technically.
Okay. Well, I mean, then it's not as bad. I mean, like, yeah, there are clouds, but it's not like dreary and rainy. Like,
yeah, but
yeah, there's
we don't,
clouds, but it's
we
very
don't get
nice.
Those big bright blue sky days. Blue sky, big sun. Weather Channel. Cloudiest cities in America, Syracuse, New York, Detroit, Michigan, Youngstown, Ohio, and us. A who's who. Yeah, summer concerts. I was a big fan of going to shows when I was a kid, like teenagers, early 20s, Tom Petty, Bruce Springsteen, Rush. I was big on the classic rock bands in person. Antonio Brown tonight on the South Side confirmed. It is actually happening. After he got stranded in Dubai with Floyd Mayweather, he's finally coming back to Pittsburgh, which I think you could have predicted that it would happen this way. Given the way his career unraveled and came undone, even dating back to when it really blew up on him in Pittsburgh, and he misbehaved his way out of town and got the trade he wanted to the Raiders because he wanted the big payday from them, which he subsequently ruined too. I think there was a small window there where I thought we might actually see him on a football field against the Steelers, and that was going to be his return to Pittsburgh, which honestly, if that had happened, There have been games at Heinz Field where Steelers fans were foaming at the mouth and just frothing with hatred towards the opponent, whether it's Tom Brady and the Patriots, a number of Ravens games, you know, Baker Mayfield era Browns games, Vontaze Burfict era Bengals games. I don't think if he came into Pittsburgh with, say, the Patriots or the Bucks in 2019 or 2020, 2018, somewhere in that neighborhood, I think it would have been as intense as we've ever witnessed at a Steelers game. Do you want to disagree with that, Donnie?
No, especially if it was with the Patriots. I know he only played, what, a couple games for them.
One.
Yeah, just one.
But if he came into into Pittsburgh with Tom Brady and the Bucks, I mean,
plus I could have seen. Now I don't know with Brady if Brady would have like let him do his own thing and like run out on the field first. I do remember, even though this guy is remembered here as a Super Bowl hero, Santonio Holmes. I remember
when he came out with the Jets and did the arms out.
He came out first by like a 10-yard span and did like the Jets thing, the plane thing.
I think it would have been surreal. I think it would have been a sight to see. Instead, it happens this way, where he's at a nice but small nightclub-ish concert venue on the South Side. Last I checked, the tickets weren't completely sold out, and he's doing one of his, in air quotes, concerts or shows for people. It's not returning as a conquering hero for a Hall of Honor induction or like something that you do to commemorate a team accomplishment, because the Steelers don't bring back players from teams that just won division titles or went to a Super Bowl, I don't think. I don't think they would ever commemorate the anniversary of the team that lost to the Packers in the Super Bowl. Do you, Donnie? I don't think at halftime they'd ever say, and give it up for the 2010 AFC champion Steelers.
Oh, no, they wouldn't do that.
So, you know, one of the things I've thought about a lot today when discussing Antonio Brown is he's finally back here. Like, you can only have probably at that concert maybe 1,000 people tops. Maybe probably even less. I'm guessing if you're buying a ticket, you're a fan of him, but because it's only about him. It's not going to a Steelers game. He gets honored for making the Hall of Honor, and everybody's there to actually watch the game, not see him get his flowers, in which case he might actually get booed or not be shown any kind of appreciation or love. I think it's interesting that he picked... that he thought it was a good idea to come back to Pittsburgh and that enough time had passed where he could do a show here and there would be Steelers fans and Pittsburgh sports fans and just Antonio Brown fans that would want to go to this. That's another thing I've thought about. So, you know, it's a situation now where time has gone on, but I still think the polarizing nature of Antonio Brown is very much alive. You either still love the guy because he was a dynamo at wide receiver who put up a 5-year stretch unlike anything we've ever seen from a player at that position in Steelers history. And I know, like before, like the old timers want to say, yeah, but it's not the 1970s where they threw the ball 15 times a game and you got your head knocked off if you went over the middle and Lynn Swan had to get carried off the field by Joe Green and like that was a whole different animal. I get all of that. But even in the context of his numbers compared to his peers, the other great receivers from that era, whether we're talking about Larry Fitzgerald or Calvin Johnson or Julio Jones, he was the best for a half decade, which is not a long time. But we've seen dudes recently get in the Hall of Fame with a very short prime like that. Go look up Kurt Warner's. You probably don't want to do this on a Friday because you're ready to drink Icy Light Mangoes with your buddies and smoke cigars and have fun. But Kurt Warner is in the Hall of Fame, and I think you can count on one hand how many good years he had. The dude got benched by Mark Bolger, carried a clipboard for a little while for Eli Manning and Matt Leiner. Terrell Davis is in the Hall of Fame. Tony Boselli is going into the Hall of Fame. Like, they've now proven if you were awesome for a handful of years, they will vote you in. And Antonio Brown absolutely did that. He is, after Jerry Rice, the most impressive wide receiver I've ever seen at his best. But that doesn't mean that you have to like him, because unlike James Harrison, who definitely made some enemies out the door, Brown has a touchdown that he caught with his helmet a la David Tyree in an AFC playoff game, but that's not winning a Super Bowl. And that's the other thing that's going to haunt him, I think, with Steelers fans forever. Think about this, Donnie. Terry Bradshaw won 4 rings here, and there are still people that are your dad's age that can't stand the guy because of the way he treats the Steelers organization and the way he disrespected, in air quotes, the Rooney family. And that's not even close to as bad as the way Antonio Brown left. And Antonio Brown is, on a team level, never accomplished anything close to that. So if people hold grudges for 30 years with Bradshaw, I think they're going to hold grudges for a super long time with Brown, don't you?
There's definitely people that are out on Brown.
But you're not one of those guys, I don't think. I think you respect and appreciate what he did with the Steelers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think the guy's an idiot.
I don't sense that you hate his guts.
No. I mean, like, obviously I was mad with how everything happened. You know, I don't think he's a smart person. I could very much see him going bankrupt one day, even with all the money he made in his career. But, and I told Jason this earlier, he is on the short list of most electric Steelers I have personally ever witnessed. Right up there with Troy Polamalu, who's probably number one and would probably be number one for everybody. But, you know, you think of Troy, A.B., Hines Ward was one of those guys. But
yeah,
not quite to the flash of A.B.
Well, yeah, not even close. I mean, he was impressive in that he played that position in such a physical way, which was unlike so many other wide receivers.
But
that's what made him stand out.
Troy and A.B. are probably one and two.
Yeah. I mean, Bell had a year or two there where I would put him in that class, where he was the best running back in football.
Oh, he was.
Damn,
yeah,
close.
He was.
It's a shame. It is. Like, there's so much self-destructiveness there and so much self-sabotage that I don't feel sorry for Antonio Brown in that way. I mean, the guy made millions of dollars and was successful at his job, but there's always going to be a what-if there for me with those teams. With the Ben, Bell, Brown, Killer Bees teams. That they had elite players at quarterback, running back, at wide receiver. They had a really good offensive line for a big chunk of that run, too. And the best they could do was get to an AFC championship game. And by the way, they got there because they beat a backup quarterback in the first game. And then they didn't score a touchdown in the second game? I mean, they were a team with elite offensive playmakers, and they got to an AFC championship on the back of a kicker. And like 37-year-old James Harrison beating Eric Fisher like a rented mule in that game. Like, all right. So AB's back. You can still get tickets at this thing tonight. Would you pay $30 to listen to Whole Lot of Money on loop? What does he play besides Whole Lot of Money? Does he do, is Antonio Brown going to cover other bands?
Imagine if he just went out there and like covered like Nirvana and like CCR.
We
he
call
just
this
really
one,
throws it back.
We call this one Smells Like Team Spirit. 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Do you think if he went out there and came out to Renegade or Here We Go, that would get the fans going or that would cause a ruckus?
I don't know. I think
it would get the fans going because you're buying tickets to see him, and that, I think, means you are inherently an Antonio Brown lover.
Yeah, I think it'll mainly be people that do like the guy. I can't imagine many people being like, oh, yeah, I'll go to this concert. I can't stand the guy. Like, why would you even waste your money in that case?
Well, I would not be surprised if people got thrown out thinking, this guy really made me mad as a Steelers fan. I'll pay $30 to give him a piece of my mind.
There could be a guy or someone or two that, you know, does that.
But I think that's a very, very small percentage. All right.
It's down there on the south side, man. Anything can happen.
How many blocks away from where you live is this place?
I think only like 6 or 7, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe not even that far.
You're just standing out front tailgating it with Icy Light mangoes and, I don't know, what you'd be eating. Wings, I guess, just right in character.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Fan Hotline is presented by Nemacol, and around every corner, Nemacol creates real-life magic for guests. We have on the hotline right now, for me, the best film analyst in all of football, watches the tape, crunches the tape, can tell you about guys in depth better than anyone. For years, was on that ESPN NFL matchup show, which was just a delight to watch. And you remember watching him play for the Steelers, and does a ton of work for Steelers.com, and we're just thrilled to have him back on the show. I'm, of course, talking about Merrill Hodge. Merrill, how are the Steelers going to go about replacing Stephon Tuitt, man?
Well, that's not easy. You know, I don't know if it caught them off guard. I don't think they were expecting him to retire, but that leaves a void. You know, Stephon's had a tough career, though. I don't even know if he's played an entire year, maybe only one time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's been inconsistent. So they played without him more than they played with him. So they know how to do that. You know, they've drafted some kids that can do some stuff inside, you know, down in the trenches too, that could help them out. You know, I know that having Stephon would have been a plus, but, you know, I think they filled in with some guys that could shoulder the load there, because that's what they're going to have to play better, because, you know, Tua didn't play, and then got hurt against the Raiders. When he got hurt, honestly, their defensive line wasn't the same.
Yeah.
So, you know, but he's back and healthy. You know, you got some guys too that can, some depth there that hopefully will make it better, you know, than they had last year, because, you know, they did struggle. There were moments against Cleveland that they played well against the run, but they just weren't consistent enough. And they got to play better. If you want to be a consistent winner in the NFL, you have to be able to control that environment. If you can't, then the other team just dictates, and that's how our league is. You got to control the tempo. That's why people say you got to stop the run, you got to run it, because once you do that, you control the environment and you dictate coverages, you dictate what the defense does, and you limit what flexibility they have.
Merrill, what was their biggest? I mean, they were dead last against the run last year, so it's hard to put your finger on just one thing. But like, what the hell happened to be that bad against the run?
Well, first of all, you know, they had their issues in the trenches with the injuries. You know, they just weren't the same there, number one. And then the linebacking core inside was atrocious from how they complement. You know, listen, stopping the run is, yes, it starts with your defensive line, but those linebackers play a significant role in it. And they were just, as a group, very bad. I mean, just probably the worst in football. In the National Football League. That's how bad they were. You know, so when you have two layers of issues,
yep,
then it doesn't surprise you that you were last. It's not shocking. It isn't like you looked at, oh boy, they didn't play like that. Yeah, they played like that. And that does not shock me at all that they were the last. And that's going to have to change because you just can't win consistently if teams are able to do that on you.
Do you have confidence that Bush now is going to be better? Merrill, like the knee, you're not.
No, there's nothing there. Here's what I've always said. After 2 years, in almost every position, you know what you have. And now it's about, and this is where I think management makes mistakes, is you don't want to admit a mistake, and you hold on, and you think that somebody's going to turn the corner, and you hold on. You cut bait, and you move on. Not everybody makes the right decisions. There's nobody backs 1,000 out there.
Mm-hmm.
Remember talking to Bill Polian, and if I remember right, I think he said, you know, if you bat about 600 or 56%, you're a Hall of Fame GM. I'm like, geez, 56%? I mean, think about that.
There's 44% out there on the other end of things.
But when you think about it, you know, I mean, shoot, you know, the first round is so talked about and act like that's the only pick that happens. You know, you got anywhere from, you know, 3 to 9 picks, depending on, mm-hmm. you know, what you gave up or what you had. So, you know, there's a lot of picks that you have to evaluate. You know, the more that can contribute and be a part of your team and fit roles.
Yeah.
You know, not everybody's going to be a star. For every one star, I believe there's 5 role players, and that's kind of how a championship team is built. But, no, I just think you got to cut bait there. He is who he is, okay? He doesn't play with great instincts. I don't care if he's a first rounder. I don't care if he's fast. He's not a very good football player. He doesn't play smart. He doesn't play fast. He doesn't even play with great leverage and technique when he does. And he hurts you. There's nothing he does that helps you. People target him in the passing game, and they wear him out. He's never gotten any better there, and he's not going to get any better there. So I think you got to cut bait. You got to get players. You can't win with that, number one.
Mm-hmm.
So to do that is actually you're telling the team you don't care about the team then. That's a bad part. You know, and I don't believe that Tomlin's like that. I don't think the Rooneys are like that. You can't afford to play with players like that mm-hmm. and win. You're not going to win with players like that.
So, Merrill, do you think they could get by with Miles Jack and maybe Spillane there this year? Is that
You know, Miles Jack, when he came out, I really liked Miles Jack. You know, he was a terrific football player. I really did. I haven't went back and looked at him last year
uh-huh.
in great detail. So I can't speak to, you know, has he. I know he had an injury, I believe, you know, but I can just tell you this. From when he came out, I believe he was at UCLA. I think he came out
at
UCLA.
Yeah, he was. That's right.
Yeah. And, you know, I really like him. He was a very versatile player, instinctive player. I do believe he is an upgrade, you know. I just didn't really follow him a lot last year. So I'm not really schooled on telling you how well he played. But if he's played like he has played in the past, and I've watched him throughout his career, he's an upgrade. You know, and Spillane is really their best inside linebacker, period. End of story.
Wow, okay.
You just watch him you watch him play inside. He's A's athletic. He's smart. He's where he's supposed to be. He takes on people. He makes tackles. He's not a liability in the passing game. You know, you can't expose him in the passing game. There's just a whole host of things that he's so much better than Bush and doesn't jeopardize your team. So, if those two as a group, you know, they draft this kid from the Ole Miss, I think the.
This year or last year?
Yeah. No, this year.
Williams.
I think it's
7th round pick.
Yeah, Mark. Mark
Williams.
Is it Robinson?
Robinson. Marcus Robinson. Yeah, my bad.
Mark Robinson. Now, you talk about a little buzzsaw.
Okay.
I mean, he is a buzzsaw. He's instinctive, and he is a. You know, here's what happens, you know, because they're not in the first round or second round or third round, you think, you know, Hardy Nickerson was a 5th round draft pick, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hardy Nickerson. I think Greg Lloyd. I think Greg Lloyd was 5th or 6th, or they're right around that category, you know. And I think that's lost. You know, if you're not a first round, you're not going to be a great football player. You don't have a great skill set. That's what's lost about the draft, and is wrong about the draft. You talk about 30 players, if that, and there's 270 drafted, and you act like that's all that was drafted. I mean, I went and put some tape on him, and that dude's a buzzsaw now. I mean, he gets to the ball instinctive and will tackle and will hit. You know, now can he transition and play NFL football? Well, we'll see that. But he does have a good skill set. You know,
and he's green. He started as a running back in college, was a walk-on player, so there's probably upside there, Merrill.
Yeah, I didn't know that. That's interesting. Yeah. That's interesting. But I tell you, he's great. He's got fabulous instincts. You know, he's a good tackler. I mean, he gets to the ball, too. I mean, he's very instinctive and aggressive. All the things that actually Devin Bush is not, to be honest with you. So.
Yeah. Merrill, how about you mentioned that because you've watched some of these rookies, and we started the conversation with Tua. Have you had a chance to watch Liel, the Texas A&M defensive end?
Yeah.
What do you think of him?
Yeah. Well, I will tell you this. The thing that I was impressed with him the most is that watch our luck. Actually, like Khalil Mack's the best defensive player I've ever seen in college football. Ever.
Wow.
You know, and been doing this for like 25 years. I've never seen a guy who played with such fabulous technique and leverage. And he could play end, outside linebacker, inside linebacker. It didn't matter where you put him. He'd been the best defensive end, outside linebacker, inside linebacker, period. Now, so I watched for – those are the kind of things that I'm looking for first, because if you can't play fundamentally sound and you don't play with great leverage, you don't know how to strike, separate, and get to the ball and have instincts. Like if you lack those things, let's say you're a good athlete, okay? And you run around and make plays, and oftentimes they don't block you, which just happens all the time. I mean, in college, I can't tell you how many people we could go through in the history where we're first-rounders are like, okay, they didn't block the guy. That's why I say TV lies and highlights really lie.
Yeah.
Because half the time the guy was making plays when they never blocked him. Okay, well, they're going to block him in the National Football League. Then when they did block him, you know, he had poor technique, couldn't get off the football, had played with no leverage. Okay, this kid can. I mean, plays with super leverage, you know, and – now, he's a guy that can play that plays inside and outside. You know, there's some versatility to him that I like. And I think he can handle that because of the fundamentals he already has. You know, so you can do some things with him. You know, you just don't have to stick in. You could probably stand him up. I think he's appeared to be that versatile. You know, now you don't want to overwhelm a kid in his first year. They wouldn't do that. But, you know, he has that. He's not limited. You know, he isn't like, that guy's a tackle. You know,
man,
he has some. He has some wiggle to him. I think he plays with he gets, you know, he played inside at tackle too, you know, and he knows how to play in those areas. And I that's what impressed me by him. And, you know, now if you can just hone in and focus in one area and let him develop, you know, and let him around play, I think he could be a plus for the Steelers.
Yeah. Merrill, hey, people can get your stuff right now on what, Steelers.com? You do those great video breakdowns there. Is that the best place to get it, my man?
Yep. Yep, Steelers.com, and we put it on MerrillHodge.com, too.
But oh, good.
I'm going to go to the studio here in a couple weeks and start throwing some videos together for getting ready for training camp, brother.
Awesome.
So it won't be long, and we'll have it out there. So I appreciate you guys having me and mentioning it.
You bet, man. Anytime. You're the best, okay? Have a great weekend.
Take care, brothers.
You bet. Too. Merrill Hodge. Man. Are you a little floored by the Devin Bush stuff there, Donnie?
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be a fan.
You don't win with those kinds of guys. Robert Spillane is the Steelers' best inside linebacker. We both looked at each other like, whoa.
Yeah, I mean, I'd still go Miles Jack there.
Well, you know how Merrill is with this stuff. If he hasn't gone back and watched the guy's tape, he's not going to comment on how much I respect. He's not going to talk out of his ass, but man. All right. It's Friday. Got to get down on Friday, Donnie. Don't forget that.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.